Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Good morning again. It is so good to be sharing God's word with you this morning, and I'm actually going to be doing it alongside Debbie Elliott, one of our missionaries who used to go here. After being a committed member of this congregation for several years, God called her to be a missionary in Livingston, Zambia, and so she'll tell you a little bit more about her call and her story in a little bit once we make our way through through the message. But before we invite her up to answer a few questions, have that conversation, I want to tell you about a missionary in the Bible. Now, when you think of the word missionary, what are some of the ideas or images or feelings that come up? When you hear the word missionary, what comes to your mind? What images come up? What feelings? What's serving? Okay. What's that? Oh. Jungles. Okay, going to far off places. Yeah. Spreading the message, spreading the gospel. Mm-hmm. Good, good. Maybe a couple other people. Sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So, who's the missionary we're talking about this morning? Abram. Abraham. Do we usually think of Abraham as a missionary? Like when you think of missionaries in the Bible, do you think of, oh yeah, missionary? No, our minds usually go to people like Paul and Peter, James and John, right? People who we think of in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the people of God also had a mission. And like this missionary, you and I are on mission with God. Because to be part of the people of God is always to be on mission with God. That's how God has made it work. God's people are always on mission with Him. Last week, Pastor Jericho shared, especially during VBS, a definition for a missionary, and he said missionaries do three things. They leave their house, they travel around, and they share the gospel. They leave their house, they travel around, and they share the gospel. I would expand that third point a bit, that we share the gospel in word and deed as we love others in Jesus' name. And I know Pastor Jericho would say the same thing. He was giving a definition during VBS, so he's just trying to keep it simple for little ones. The message for this morning is not that you have to go to Zambia or Guatemala or a jungle to be a missionary, but rather, God has called you to be a missionary right where you are at. I want to redefine maybe in your mind what a missionary is, what it's all about, so we can follow the pattern of life that Abraham had in response to God's promises, just like we have a certain response that God calls us to in response to the good news of Jesus Christ. For 5 weeks, we're doing this sermon series called Surprise the World. Surprise the World. The subtitle is Five Habits of Highly Missional People. And the whole premise of this book is, we're drawing each message from there. The whole premise of the book is that Christianity is meant to be a surprising religion. People are supposed to encounter Christians living out their faith and go, there's something different about you. What is it? Tell me about why your quality of life is different, why you do life differently. Why are you loving in this situation? Why do you have peace? Why do you have hope? And so that's what Christianity is meant to be when we live out our faith. And throughout history, Christians have changed the world as they've been on mission with God. And God's calling us right now, right today, right where we're at. And really, the focus of this series is about re-engaging with the world after all the crazy stuff we've been going through for the past year and a half. What does it look like for us to re-engage, to surprise the world with the love and good news of Jesus? How can we do that? Well, we're going to focus on some key things that we can do as we're getting back to normal or getting back to a new normal or maybe might be stepping back a couple steps or whatever. I don't know exactly what's going on, but we're heading somewhat in the right direction and we are called to re-engage with the world. We're going to cover five habits of highly missional people, and missional just means people who are on mission with God. And it if you know me, you know I love acronyms, so I love this. The acronym that we're going to cover is BELLS. We're going to go out and live in such a way that it rings the bell of the gospel, you could say. So these five messages we're going to cover are bless others, eat together, listen to the Spirit, learn Christ, and understand yourself as sent by God into others' lives, okay? Bless, eat, listen, learn, sent. And which one are we covering this morning? Bless, very good, yes. For this week, we're starting with blessing others, and this is really the starting point for all of this. And we're going to start with a few questions before we have Debbie come up. We're going to work our way through a few questions as we make our way through these passages. The first is, what does it mean to bless? What does it mean to bless? Like, what does that word actually mean in the Bible? Then we're going to take a look at how we are blessed to be a blessing in Christ as the church. And then we're going to look at practical ways to bless. How do we go about actually doing that in practical ways? So we needed to start with this question about what does it mean to bless, because it's a big Bible word that we sometimes use, but we use it differently, right? People go, hashtag bless, check out this great meal I had. Hashtag bless, I just had this great vacation. No, that's not what blessing means in the scriptures. That's not quite what it means. It's much more of an active thing. This is kind of maybe a better definition. It's to bestow or to give or to provide prosperity and goodness. To bestow prosperity and goodness. That after you are blessed, you're left with more prosperity, more goodness in your life with who you are. The first time we encounter the word bless is in Genesis 1, when God's creating humankind. So I want to read Genesis 1, 26 through 31 to give you a picture, a feel for what Scripture means when it says bless. This is Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 31, for those of you who are taking notes for later. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God says, I'm going to create you, humanity, in my image, and you're in charge of the rest of creation. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so we're also created for relationship with one another. And then verse 28, here's the key word. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. So you get a picture for this word bless. It's God says, go be fruitful. Here's this blessing. You're going to enjoy true life, and you're actually going to expand the blessing to the rest of the world. So yes, it has to do with receiving, but it also has to do with going in turn, giving it out as well. And because we've been created in God's image, we are able to bless other people. We are able to bless other people. Every single day, you and I have so many opportunities to bless people, to bestow prosperity and goodness in the choices we make. It might just be simple little things. It doesn't have to be like a really huge thing, like I gave my kidney to someone. By the way, there's some people in the church where that actually happened. So it's a real thing where people make that kind of blessing, that kind of sacrifice. But you have so many ways that you can bless people in everyday life. Let's go over a few examples that you might have just encountered in everyday life. Have you ever been in line at Starbucks or at McDonald's or something like that, and the person in front of you paid for your food? Or have you heard about that? There was a big thing several years back where people would do that, and you know, people would get their meal paid for, and then they would pay it forward or pay it back, I guess, for the people behind them. That's an example of just, you know, just randomly, or just seeing a need, or just wanting to give something good to someone. Another example is when someone's discouraged or distraught, and just simply sitting down listening to someone and giving them an encouraging word. Another example is someone might just be grieving. They might have lost a family member, a friend. They might have lost a dream, a job. And you don't need to say anything. You just need to be present with them, put your arm around them, or maybe give them a big hug, and maybe hold them while they weep. All of those things are the biblical way of blessing people. And for me, looking back at my childhood, I have a really big story of blessing that really captures for me what blessing is all about. When my parents got divorced when I was 13, I remember my dad said to my mom and to us kids, said, I'm not giving money to help your mom because I'm saving up money for college. Make sure you have money for college. I said, okay, all right. I guess that makes sense. I was 13. What do I know about finances at that point for a whole household? But I thought, okay, my dad's going to pay for college. Then I get to senior year and time comes around. My dad had moved to Romania and he says, yes, I will pay for college, but you have to do it here. You have to move here. And you have to be a lawyer, a doctor, or a dentist. And I wanted to do none of those things. So suddenly, middle of senior year, I went, oh, now I've got to figure out how to do college. And I'm not saying that people who have to do loans and all that stuff aren't blessed, but I'm saying in my situation, what was supposed to be a blessing became a curse. And then my mom remarried my senior year and met and fell in love with and married a wonderful man named Alan Markham. And I remember between the time of my parents' divorce and my mom's remarriage that there was just a sense of lack, that we were just struggling a bit. We weren't starving, but I knew that things weren't quite as they used to be. I would wear shoes for an extra 6 months to a year, let them get worn out, because I knew that we just didn't have as much money as we used to. And so I just had this sense of there was a lack there that had to just be a little bit tighter with spending. And so when my mom remarried, financially, we became in a stable place. And my stepdad said, oh, yeah, we can pay for college, no problem. We got this. And I remember thinking, yes, thank you, God. That, to me, is a blessing, you know? I had thought it was all going to be taken care of. Then it wasn't, and then it was again. And so we have a good God that desires to bless, that does bless us, and creates us in his image to be a blessing. But this isn't the whole story. There's also human sin. From Genesis 3 onwards, we have human sin fracturing and breaking our world and us. Human sin is the problem, and in Genesis 12, we begin to have God working out a solution to that problem as he calls Abraham to be a missionary. You see, understanding Genesis 12, this passage that was read, is actually key for understanding the whole rest of the Bible. I think if you don't really understand what's happening here, a lot of what happens in the rest of the Bible just doesn't make sense. So what God does here is he initiates a plan of redemption by calling Abraham. He accomplishes that plan when Christ comes, and he will complete it when Christ returns again in salvation and glory. So let's read through Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and see what God's plan is here. Now the Lord said to Abram, that his name means exalted father, his name will become Abraham, father of many, or father of multitude. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. Britt, would you mind advancing the slide? Thank you. So we've seen that we have rebelled against God and his blessing. We have rebelled against God and his blessing. But we see here God's going to begin to reverse the curse, so to speak. Well, actually, it's actually a very good description. He's going to reverse the curse here that was brought about with sin. So what word is you hear in there several times? What was one of the words you heard repeated or read as I read that? Bless. Bless or blessing is found five times in there. How is God seeking to bless Abraham and the rest of the world through him? Basically, he's saying, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and through you, I'm going to bless the rest of the world. And so from Genesis 12 onward, that's the story of Israel for the whole rest of the Old Testament. They do well at some points, but in the end, it's a story of failure. Thankfully, Christ comes. But what God is up to is he's trying to form a people for himself to showcase to the rest of the world what it's like to be in relationship with God, to be back to that blessed relationship that humans had before sin. To showcase God's purposes for the world, what he's up to in the world. Now, did you notice that God told Abraham to leave certain things behind? Did you notice that? He says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. But he also provides for him what's missing. He says, go from your country, but he says then, go to the land I'll give you. You're giving up your country, but you're going to get a new land. He says, leave your kindred, your family, but I'm going to make you into a great nation. You're going to have abundant descendants, we hear as the story goes on. In fact, you can't be a great nation unless there's a whole bunch of people. And God will say later on, just as you can't count the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore, you won't be able to count your own descendants. And then he also says, leave your father's house. In the ancient world, that was connected with a patriarchal household where there was blessing, where there was life. If you were disconnected from that, you had insecurity. And so he says, you're going to leave that, but you're going to be connected with God's household, where God's going to be in charge, and that's where you will find your blessing, in a special relationship with God. And not only will you be blessed, but I'll bless the rest of the world through you. And the amazing thing for us as missionaries is God provides us everything we need as well as we leave and go and share the gospel in word and in deed. Whenever God calls us to go on mission with him, it seems to always involve leaving something behind. It might be leaving a fear behind. I'm too afraid to go do that. It might mean leaving your comfort zone. It might mean a sacrifice in terms of your time. Well, it always means a sacrifice in terms of your time, actually. It might mean a sacrifice in terms of other opportunities or money or possessions. And we might be tempted to think, oh God, well, what am I going to do now if I sacrifice these things? But God always meets us and provides us for what we need when we go on mission with him. That's the way God works, thankfully. He always meets us because he is good and he is faithful. So blessed to be a blessing. This is the pattern of life for God's people in response to God's goodness. It's a pattern that begins with Abraham. You could say even goes back to Adam before sin. Begins with Abraham. It comes to a climax, a crescendo, a fulfillment in Christ, and it continues with the church. Let's go to the second passage for this morning, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and see how it ties in with God's plan for Abraham. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul is trying to encourage the Corinthian believers to give to a relief fund for the poor believers in Jerusalem. And so he's trying to say, look at Christ, and he's our model for giving. So he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And so through Jesus' death and resurrection, he became poor, so we might become rich in God's grace. He gave up his life. He gave up eternity, the eternal experience he had with God the Father, God the Spirit, as he took on a human nature, became fully human and fully God. And not just fully God, I should say. And ultimately, he gave his life on the cross for us. And the amazing thing is we're not only reconciled back to God, but we also then, in turn, get sent out as ambassadors for Christ, to represent Christ. We get to love others in Jesus' name. We get to listen to where people are at. We get to lead them to the gospel. We've been given so much in Christ, and God calls us to bless others out of the overflow of those blessings. I want you to take about just 20, 30 seconds and close your eyes and think about this. I want you to consider all the ways in which you've been blessed. Material possessions, home, prosperity, spiritual gifts, strengths, experiences, belongings, to name a few. Now then, How might God want to use those blessings to work through you to bless other people? That's the question for this morning, which leads into the question of how. How do we go about doing this? What does this look like? Well, there's a lot of different ways to approach this question, but I thought it might be helpful to you to utilize what are called the five love languages. How many of you have heard of the five love languages before? It comes from a book, I believe, by Gary Chapman. It's been around for a while. The five love languages was originally about marriage. By the way, it's a great book to go through or things to talk about with married couples. There's for teens, children, all over the place. There's lots of different ways to use it. So what are these five love languages? Well, they are words of affirmation, receiving gifts, quality time, acts of service, and physical touch. Words of affirmation, receiving gifts, quality time, acts of service, and physical touch. To bless people, we really need to take the time to get to know them. And this is one way that we can really be in tune with how people might need to experience God's love through us. Maybe it might need to be a word of affirmation. Maybe it might need to be an act of service. Maybe it might need to be a gift that you can give in a certain situation. All of you by now hopefully have received this card right here. Every week we're going to have with the message a call to action so we can take something home, remember? And so it says, this week I will bless one person who does not go to our church, because it's much easier to bless someone in our church that you already know, right? And it says the five love languages may be a helpful guide, and they're listed out there. So I invite you to take that home, to pray about that, and to think about that. So let's go more deeply now into this call of action as I invite Debbie Elliott up. And we have a few questions for her. Would you welcome her up, please?
Hi. Good morning, and thank you very much.
I have a few questions for you, and they're up there, the focal points.
Okay.
Did you want to say something first before that? No. Okay.
Okay.
So we've gone over the beginning of the missionary life of Abraham. So I thought it might be kind of cool to hear a bit about how God called you to be a missionary to Zambia, and maybe how we might learn about our calling as well.
Well, in 2007, I was prompted by God to go with the team to Africa. We were going to Zambia and Zimbabwe. But I was terrified. I don't know why. I didn't really want to go, but God just kept saying, yes, you're going, yes, you're going. And so I went, and I was completely changed as a person, as a Christian, as a woman. I had boldly prayed for God to break my heart for what broke his, and he absolutely did that. I fell in love with the Zambian people. We fell in love with the church there. Pastor Bill Welch bonded very closely with Pastor Chris Mukandawari, that some of you do know, and we started a partnership with this church and school. But I was a mom to a teenager who was in high school at the time. And so that was my calling. I needed to stay here and be a mom. But I knew in that very first trip, and the gals in my Bible study will testify, that it was a joy that I had never experienced before. And so it took 7 years for me to get there, but I went back five more times on short-term trips and took other teams. Some of you have been there with me, and so you know you have experienced that, but I knew. And then in 2014, 7 years ago, is when I went.
Thank you for sharing about that. And it's interesting that God, if you have a willing heart, God will meet you with that. If you say, God, how do you want me to use you, mm-hmm. or how do you want me to be used by you? He'll show up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know what? You don't have to go to Zambia to be a missionary, like Dean has already pointed out. I have found that God calls you to different missions in different seasons mm-hmm. of your life. After that first trip, I came back here, and I was determined that I needed to do hands-on ministry. I didn't want to go to meetings anymore and talk about it. I wanted to do it. And it was shortly after that that we got the privilege of starting Bread of Life. And I participated in that for 5 years while I think God was preparing me for Zambia with that ministry. But I got to really just be there and be a part of that.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing for all of us to hear and be reminded is that God's calling can take on many different forms, and it changes over time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been talking about being blessed to be a blessing. What does that mean to you, and how does that maybe guide your ministry?
Well, you know, if you think about it, every single one of you has done something to bless another person. And you know that when you see their joy and how they have responded to what you've done for them, you are doubly blessed. And so it makes you want to do more and makes you want to serve, you know, others and find other ways to bless people, because you're the one that really gets blessed the most. I have a class that I teach, and we teach boys and girls, but we have the guys teach the boys. It's called Cherish for the Girls and Courage for the Boys. And what it is an 8-week scripture-based curriculum to teach purity to these kids. And they're high school ages anywhere from 14 to 20. Teen pregnancy is a huge problem. You see girls on the street carrying babies all the time. And so when I came across this curriculum several years ago, I started teaching it. And what it teaches kids about who they are in Christ, and about relationships, and about HIV, AIDS, and STDs. And I mean, it's basically a sex education class, but it also brings in relationships and what God has for us. There's a forgiveness module. There's a lot of sharing, a lot of question answering and all that, and getting these kids to talk about it, because they don't get this from their own families. And by the end of it, we've all gotten really close together, and I'm talking, you know, 30 girls at a time that we're teaching, and we have a little celebration at the end where they graduate, and every single time they'll get up to share, and one or two of the girls will start to cry and say, "I wish all my friends could learn what I've learned from you." And if you don't think that's a great blessing for me, I want to do it again and again and again.
And so God has blessed you with so much that you are able to impact
everything. Everything that I get to do there, and well, I'm blessed in a lot of ways. I'm blessed by you sending me. You know, one of the things you need to understand too is that you're called to mission doesn't mean you have to go somewhere. Many of you are senders for me and for other missionaries. The roles are every bit as important, because I wouldn't get to do what I do if I didn't have you helping me, supporting me financially, or praying for me, or hosting me when I come home, or loaning me your car. That is your mission, you know, where I'm concerned. You participate in every way, and it allows me to get to do what I do.
Yeah, so it's just this amazing way in which God brings it all together through all the different callings.
And every role is just as important as the one going. You know, yeah. It was a little bit drastic. I mean, I did quit my job. I did sell my house and my car and all my stuff. And a lot of people looked at me and thought either I was crazy or I was the bravest person on the planet. It wasn't about me. You know, it was the most liberating thing you could ever do. I promise.
That's really cool how God met you in that and really kind of changed your heart for what he had called you to do.
Yeah.
So let's end with talking about some simple ways to bless. What have you learned about some simple ways, some ways that maybe we can bless people in any context, whether you're in Zambia or Huntington Beach or wherever?
My answer to that is very simple, and it's really just be present with whoever it is you're trying to bless. Engage with them, find out what they need, and take action. I'll tell you a couple stories. There's a Wings of Hope supports secondary students that wouldn't otherwise be in school because it costs money. It's not free. It costs money to go to school there. And if you don't have money, the schools will chase you.
So they will literally chase you out?
Yes, they will. They'll send you home. Yes. And so we help keep kids in school or go back to school if they've already been out working with social welfare. Anyway, we also go out and the students that we help, we tell their stories. We write testimonies. We visit them, write testimonies, and tell the stories on our Facebook page because it shows you the kind of people that you're supporting, that you're helping, and the conditions that they're living in and all of that. Anyway, we were at the home of this boy, John, and he had five older siblings and a mother who's a widow, and all the older siblings were in their late teens and 20s. And the oldest man is 28 years old, and he wasn't able to work. The mother was too old to work. The man wasn't able to work because he had ulcers, big sores on his ankle on both sides. And so I dug in because I was like, he told us he had been suffering with these things for 7 years. And so I said, well, did you go to a doctor? Did you get any medicine? What's the story here? And he went in his house and he brought out a file that was 3 inches thick of doctor visits and clinic visits that he had done. And I said, well, I don't really have time to read all of this, but what's this? I picked up something off of the top. And he said, well, it's a prescription, but we don't have money to pay for it. And he had had it for some time. So I said, you know what, let me find out what it is, and I'll take it to there. It's a chemist at the pharmacy. And I took it, and the chemist told me, well, this is an ointment that he needs to put on his wounds every day, 3 times a day. So I took it back to him and explained what he needed to do and had told him to let me know when it runs out. The medicine cost, did I say this? It cost equivalent of $5.50. 3 weeks later, he was completely healed. The wounds had resolved themselves, and now he could even walk better. And this was important, really important, because what you need to understand is now he's going to be able to work and provide food for his family. So it's impacting many other people. A lot of times you don't realize that something that you do for one person can impact many more people. And then it can be real simple. You know, pay attention, be engaged. There was a lady at the store, at the grocery store. In Zambia, the way they shop is they get a trolley, a big cart, and they fill it all up with things that they want. And then when they get up to the register, they prioritize and they start taking out the things that they need the most. And then when the total on the register adds up to how much money they have, they leave all the rest of it there in the line and go on about their business. It's really annoying, actually. But there was a lady in front of me with a small basket with 6 or 7 things in it, and I was watching her, and she took all the things out of the basket, and when it got totaled, she didn't have enough money. And there was an awkward second there where she was mortified that she didn't have enough money and wasn't sure what to take away, and God prompted me, help her, just a real simple helper. So I took out a 100 kwacha bill, and I handed it to the cashier. 100 kwachas are worth about $5. I handed it to the cashier, and the lady turned and looked at me, big eyes and astounded, and said, you're buying my food? And I just said, it's fine, please, it's okay. And she wasn't gonna leave it at that. The cashier took the money and started to give me the change, and I said, no, give it to her. I mean, it was a really simple thing. She followed me to my car and said, I need to know where you live. I want to come to your house and bring you something to thank you properly. And I said, no, please, it's a blessing to me to be able to do this for you. Please just go have a lovely day. And you know, I sent her on her way. But I came away feeling like, how many appointments like that has God put in front of me that I overthought and said, oh, this, I shouldn't do this, or I'm in a hurry, I don't have time, you know, it's not convenient, and I wasn't available for that. So what I'm going to say to you is be mindful of those times when God puts something in front of you, and it can be a small thing and it can be a big thing, and you might, yeah, have to rearrange your day or be late to somewhere else, but you'll be the one that gets the joy of the blessing that you got to do.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Debbie, for sharing your heart, your experiences, your wisdom. So hopefully you heard there that you can be a missionary right where you're at. You can go today, if you go to lunch, let's say at Wahoo's or something like that, or tomorrow as your day is unfolding, pay attention. I love that. Thank you, Debbie, for that encouragement to be present, because God is present and He's at work and we can get involved with what He's doing.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us